Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Lark. I just got the best new earbuds. They're called Et from Studio.com. They're so comfortable and weatherproof.
Hey, I got a pair too. They're my first earbuds and they're fantastic. They come in their own little wireless charger case with a USB cord.
You can charge them anywhere and play them for up to 6 hours on a single charge. And I can use them with my iPhone, my laptop, or even my iPad Pro.
They're Bluetooth and noise canceling, and the built-in mic is great for making phone calls.
And they're pink. I just love them. Did I mention they're pink?
They come in several colors, actually. Anyone can get them on Studio.com. Just use the code KUDZU for 15% off. KUDZU. Hey, Kim. Guess what time of year it is?
It's Halloween, and we've got a week of creepiness for our listeners.
Yep, October 26th to the 30th, we'll be celebrating our favorite holiday with you, our favorite people.
Each day, we'll have a brand new mini episode of something creepy and crawly for you to enjoy.
So stop in and listen every day, then tweet us for a chance at some killer kudzu giveaways. Cut that out. It's undignified.
Okay.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea, where we like to share gothic tales of Southern-style murder.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. Each week, we take turns telling you the gruesome details of serial killers, spree killers, and just plain old mean people that we find interesting, and we hope you do too. Sometimes quirky and weird, but always respectful.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and let us take you step by step through our story. And feel free to shoot us a comment on a specific episode on our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com.
Now, let's get on with the show.
Okay, Lark, what you just heard was a portion of the 911 call placed by 10-year-old Robin Doan, who was the only survivor at an isolated farmhouse near Pampa, Texas. Wasn't that pitiful?
Oh, my God.
Poor kid.
My God. My little heart. My heart. Oh. I was just like sniffling, and I just want to just hug her and say, oh, honey bunny, it's going to be okay.
And that's something for you.
Yeah, that's a big deal because, you know, I'm pretty cold hearted. And
yeah, not really. Not, you like to act like it, but you're not really.
Yeah, but I was sniffling. She had me sniffling.
It's just horrible. It was the early morning hours, maybe around 7 o'clock was when she was out there, or 6 o'clock, whenever the sun was rising, September 30th, 2005. So it was just 15 years ago, almost to the day.
Wow.
This happened, and she had just survived the murder of her whole family. Her stepfather, Brian Conrad, her mother, Michelle, her 14-year-old brother, Zach.
Wow.
Michelle was 6 months pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
And he shot her 5 to 6 times to silence her screaming.
Oh my God.
He even killed the family dog, Molly, with 2 bullets from the AK-47 he was toting.
That's just the cherry on top. No.
He'd intended to kill them all, but Robin woke up to the sounds of her mother screaming, and she got out of bed to investigate what was going on and heard heavy footsteps coming down the hallway toward her room and her brother's rooms. Mm-hmm. And she ran, as she describes it, she took 2 big leaps and jumped into her bed and covered up with the covers. She heard him come to her bedroom door and shoot. She moaned and rolled out of the bed and played dead.
But wait, so did he shoot her bed and she and miss?
He shot her. He shot twice. The first one kind of grazed her left arm and leg. Most of the reports say she wasn't shot, but she did say herself that it grazed her left arm and leg. Then the second one missed her entirely and went into some plastic drawers she had at the side of her bed for a nightstand.
Oh,
so,
okay.
She stayed as still as she could, but she heard him go across the hall to her brother's room and shoot him too.
Wow, she was probably just petrified with fear. Poor little
She was thing. Scared to death, and she lay there. She lay there while she heard him in the kitchen and rummaging around in the house. She could hear him moving around. Even after she couldn't hear him anymore, she still stayed hidden under those sheets until I think it was about 2.5 hours later when she was brave enough to get out of the bed and go get the cordless phone they had and call 911. And that was the 911 call that we just heard.
Wow. I just don't know if I would have had, I don't know how I could have ever had enough strength to got up and.
At 10 years old, this girl was 10 years old, and she had the foresight to get in that bed and cover up and pretend to be. She moaned and rolled out of the bed and pretended to be dead. I don't think at 10 years old I would have had the foresight or the, I don't know what you would call it, but I don't think I would have.
The tenacity, the courage.
I would have been screaming, I think. I don't think I would have pretended I was dead. I think I would have been yelling and screaming and, dead, be shot.
I mean, I've had dreams where I'm just petrified in my dream and can't move. So that's how I think I would react. I would be so afraid I couldn't even save myself. That's how I think I would react. And I'm well beyond 10 years old.
I saw the dash cam video of the police officers. I saw she was sitting on the tailgate of the truck when they got there, and she jumped down and started running to them. Now, that killer's name was Levi Alexis King. He didn't know the Conrads. In fact, he wasn't even from Pampa or anywhere in Texas. He was fleeing toward Mexico after killing 2 of his neighbors in Pineville, Missouri, about 500 miles north.
Mm-hmm.
Levi King had a history of violence. He exhibited more than one trait on the McDonald Triad. Are you familiar with the McDonald Triad?
I can't say that I am.
It's what they use to kind of predict psychotic and sociopathic behavior in kids and young adults.
That's interesting.
They use it to identify serial killers. There are 3 traits, and they feel that when you combine 2 or more of them, it seems to point the people in future violent tendencies. So in other words, they can use it to identify possible serial offenders. The traits are arson, cruelty to animals, and enuresis, which is bedwetting. You know, bedwetting after the age of 5, they call a problem.
Hmm.
Now, Levi King exhibited at least 2 of those traits, cruelty to animals and arson.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about the bedwetting, but it wouldn't shock me.
Right.
Because he had a difficult childhood.
Right.
Of course, not all people who are bedwetters are going to be psychopaths or sociopaths and murder people, you know, because that's just, yeah. A lot of people are bedwetters. It's sometimes because your bladder doesn't grow as fast as you do, but.
Right.
It's just part of this triad, you know.
Yeah.
As a predictor. They use it as a predictor.
Right.
Levi had committed arson more than once when he was 4 years old. He burned his sister's bedroom because he was mad at her.
Oh, my gosh.
He wanted to burn things that she loved, and he accidentally caught the curtains on fire.
Accidentally.
When he was doing
it. Accidentally while he's playing with his mama's lighter. No doubt.
I don't know. There's no mention of a mama for this guy. It's his dad talk about. But he started smoking at the age of 10.
Oh, my.
He was drinking by 11, hard liquor.
Oh, my God.
And he began to use drugs like methamphetamines and heroin and those sorts of things by the time he was 13.
Oh, my God. Where do these kids get this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you in a little bit.
Well, I'm probably naive on that, so please continue.
On A&E, The Killer Speaks, he admits to killing animals from an early age. Strays, and even pets. He recalled, and I'm quoting this, "I went to my father's room, took an SKS out of the gun cabinet, took a cat, and started firing at it until there was nothing left of that cat."
Oh, my God. Oh, that's horrible.
And he didn't show any kind of remorse when he was saying this either. I watched the video of him. It was just a matter of fact, yeah, I shot that cat until there wasn't anything left of it.
Wow. Wow. He just has no sense of any kind of compassion for any living creature. No emotions at all.
None. Doesn't seem like it. Not really. Other than euphoria from killing people.
Uh-huh.
But at the age of 20, he was sentenced to 14 years in prison for burglarizing and then burning down a neighbor's house. So we have arson and we have cruelty to animals. So he has two of those elements of the McDonald triad to...
The previews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to point to the fact he might have something wrong with him in the mental department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was put on trial for that burglary, and he got 14-year sentence for it. But as we see a lot as we're doing these cases, we see that the sentencing doesn't always pan out, and the time sentenced doesn't always match the time served, right?
Exactly.
All the time we see this.
All the time.
And he had only served 17 months of that 14-year sentence before he was released to a halfway house in St. Louis.
What? Oh, my goodness.
I guess they felt like burglarizing and burning somebody's home down to the ground was only worth 17 months. But he didn't like it in that halfway house. I'm sure they had rules, and he had to work a
no
job.
Doubt.
And he had a job. He was kind of being productive, I guess. I don't know. I don't have any information from that job. But he didn't like it, and so he told him he was going to go to work. And he went to work and picked up his last paycheck and left and ran.
Figures.
Yeah. Now, he's paroled to that halfway house. When you're paroled to a halfway house, you can't just come and go.
Right.
You've got to report in. You've got to do all these other things. And you certainly can't leave. That's just sort of where you get to go to have your little parole time until they figure that you are going to be productive. And they figured out pretty fast he wasn't, I would imagine.
Do you know if he had an ankle bracelet on or...
I guess not.
Well, I don't know if they track. Do they use trackers on those, or are they just alarm when you're outside of the perimeter?
No, I think they've got trackers on them. I'm not sure.
It would be common sense, but common sense doesn't rhyme.
I don't know. This was 15 years ago, so.
True.
Yeah. I don't know what they were doing back then, honestly. But it didn't say anything in any of the research that I did that he had any kind of an ankle bracelet on, so I'm going to assume no.
Right. Right.
Now, this was mid-September of 2005, and he was on the run and hitchhiked to his hometown in Pineville, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
The details are a little sketchy. I don't know where he stayed. It seems like he stayed at his father's house for a few days, and then his dad kicked him out, and that made him mad. So while his father was gone to work, he broke back into the house and stole guns and ammunition. And there was plenty of guns and ammunition everywhere. And the living conditions were not good. I mean, there's insulation. I saw pictures that they had taken of the house, the inside of the house. And there was insulation hanging out the walls. It was filthy.
Oh, my, like a hoarder kind of situation.
It was like, well, it didn't have stuff hoarded in it except guns and knives and ammunition, but it didn't have, you know, it didn't have all of the, you know, newspapers and things like that and all these things that hoarders do. But it was just
filthy,
not good living conditions, not healthy living conditions.
Gotcha.
But the dad seemed to have plenty of money for collecting those guns and knives and ammo.
Well, sure. Sure. But, priorities.
But so after he broke into his dad's house, he then ambled on over to another neighbor's house and killed 70-year-old Orly McCool and his 47-year-old daughter-in-law, Dawn McCool. In his own words, he'd gone in to rob them, but then he decided to kill them, and it felt good. He liked it.
Man.
He felt relief that he hadn't felt ever in his life, he said. He left in Orly McCool's 2005 dark red Dodge Dakota pickup truck.
Well, may as well get a pickup out of it, huh? Oh, my goodness.
The investigators at the scene of the McCool murders found unusual shell casings, possibly Russian.
Oh, wow.
Which aren't easy to get here. You can't just walk down to Walmart and buy a case of Russian, you know, bullets.
Right.
So that gave them a little bit of a clue. One of the deputies recalled that he'd gotten a report of a burglary the night before coming from Levi King's father, Scott King. He reported that his son had broken in and stolen guns and ammunition, and the ammunition stolen matched the casings they found at the scene. Right.
Of course it did, because he's a collector.
Yeah. So they knew that the perpetrator was most likely Levi King, and they swore out a warrant for his arrest and details of the truck he might be driving as well.
Do you think the father knew that he would have been the one that took his stuff and just outed him on purpose or by accident?
No, he knew. He was pretty sure he knew who took the stuff and who broke in. He told police that it was his son that broke into his house and stole the stuff. This was the night before the killings. The killings happened on the early afternoon of September 29th. And
right,
the day
right.
before, September 28th, the dad had called in to the police to report that these guns and ammunition had been stolen, and he described the ammunition as Russian, so they knew that this is who they were looking for, or at least that was their prime suspect at the time.
Right. He probably knew as his dad the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
I don't know if his dad ever murdered anybody, but he's the one that got him started drinking and things like that, using drugs. Pot.
He started
him on pot when he was young.
He was creating that monster.
He was creating that monster, I feel. Yeah.
And then he put the gun in the monster's hands.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to take a little break here. And when we return from our break, Levi King is headed south. Why did he pick the Doan Conrad family and what made him kill again? And we'll talk about that when we come back in just a few minutes. Hey, Lark, I just got the best new earbuds. They're called Et from Studio.com. They're so comfortable and weatherproof.
Hey, I got a pair too. They're my first earbuds and they're fantastic. They come in their own little wireless charger case with a USB cord.
You can charge them anywhere and play them for up to 6 hours on a single charge. And I can use them with my iPhone, my laptop, or even my iPad Pro.
They're Bluetooth and noise canceling, and the built-in mic is great for making phone calls.
And they're pink. I just love them. Did I mention they're pink?
They come in several colors, actually. Anyone can get them on Studio.com. Just use the code KUDZU for 15% off. KUDZU.
Morbidology is a weekly true crime podcast hosted by me, Emily G. Thompson, author of Unsolved Child Murders, Cults Uncovered, and co-author of Unsolved Murders, True Crime Cases Uncovered.
911 emergency.
My son shot my husband. I need an ambulance. He's bleeding.
Using investigative research combined with primary audio, including 911 calls, interviews, and trial testimony, Morbidology takes a look at some of the world's most heinous murders.
Do you know why you're here?
For a home invasion gone terribly wrong.
Listen to Morbidology today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you're listening.
I played dead for 2.5 hours. I was just like, I can't just lay here. I need to do something. So I just proceeded out the door and started dialing 911.
Please, can you just send somebody out here?
Somebody's coming, honey. Somebody's coming.
I just couldn't get there fast enough.
I'm cold. I'm very cold.
I could not get there fast enough.
I heard my mom scream.
What in the world could have taken place, and why is she the only one on the phone?
I want my mom.
King says he drove aimlessly, but the truck was aimed south toward Mexico, so I don't think that was quite the truth.
Yeah.
I think he was on the run, knew what he did. Of course he knew what he did, and he was heading across the border.
Heading for the border.
Mm-hmm. But while he was driving that direction, he started to come down from that high he had felt after he killed the McCools.
Wow.
He wanted to do it again. He says it was a high. He says it was a euphoria that he experienced, and he wanted to do it again to get that feeling again.
Wow. I just can't even fathom how that would make you feel high. Why that would make you take away for a moment all your worries, unless you just feel all powerful in that, is my only speculation. I mean, suddenly you're in control or something like that. This is totally my speculation.
Basically, he just wanted to kill somebody else. Anybody. He didn't care. He just wanted his high back, like you said.
I think he's proud of it and the fact that he wants to relive it. And then hopefully that it might, you know, perk him up a little bit.
He'll talk about it to anybody. Yeah, he'll talk about it to anybody. Brian Conrad was a farmer, and they lived in a farmhouse just outside of Pampa, Texas. It was visible from Interstate 40, which happened to be the highway that Levi King was traveling down.
Mm-mm.
And he was starting to get that itchy feeling again. He wanted to kill. And he saw the farmhouse sitting there in the middle of nowhere. It is in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing around it.
Yeah, we saw those pictures. Mm-hmm.
And so he exited the freeway and broke into their home and started shooting as soon as he walked through the door. Now, I'm not sure if Brian was awakened at 3 a.m., because this is about 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
or if he happened to be up, because he was a farmer, he could have been getting ready to start his day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But either way, he was the first one to die from 3 gunshots. Then he killed Molly the dog by shooting her twice.
Evil
and then
bastard.
I guess Michelle came out of the bedroom and started screaming, and that's when he shot her. And he did overkill for her, shooting her 5 to 6 times. And Michelle was 6 months pregnant, like I said earlier. So
horrible.
He shot her 5 to 6 times, depending on the account you read. Some say 5, some say 6. And then Robin, and finally Zach. The brother, 14 years old. Zach never woke up. He never woke up through it all. And as Robin said later when she was interviewed, she said she was happy that he never hurt. She's grateful for that because he didn't wake up.
Aw, poor little thing.
Now, King got back into his pickup truck, or I should say Mr. McCool's pickup truck, and headed back out on the road after he rummaged around in there and got him some food, I guess, and whatever he wanted that he could find to take. And he turned down south toward Mexico. And this is over by Amarillo, north of Amarillo, so I'm assuming he turned off of 40 and took off down one of those highways that goes south.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He crossed the border. And then sometime later, for an unknown reason, he turned back and headed back into the U.S., into Texas.
he probably got to thinking about a Mexican jail.
I don't know. He stopped at the border crossing and admitted he had guns in the truck. And the border enforcement checked the tags and found the bolo for him. And he was detained and questioned by El Paso PD until Missouri investigators could get there, because all they knew about at that point was the Pineville, Missouri murders.
Right.
So the Missouri investigators came down to ask him questions. When they arrived and started to question him, it only took him 15 minutes to get a confession out of him. I guess he was proud. He wanted to tell him, or I don't know. I don't see him having that much remorse at all, ever. Any interviews that I watched with him, he had zero feeling and zero remorse. So I can't imagine. To me, he was probably bragging about it.
I never heard any remorse in his voice. It's more like he was bragging.
Yeah. And he couldn't explain why to them that he killed the McCools. But he told them as they were driving him back to Missouri that he could still smell the blood and gunpowder, and it was better than any drug he'd ever taken.
Yeah, and he'd taken a lot.
A couple weeks later, after he got back to Missouri, the jailhouse he was in, being held in, called Don Ruby, who was one of the investigators in the case, and told him that Levi King wanted to see him at the jailhouse. When Ruby arrived at the jailhouse, Levi told him, you know, there are four more bodies in Texas. I guess he was upset that they hadn't. That's the only thing I can figure out. He was upset they hadn't tied him to them yet, so he was going to go ahead and tell him that he did it.
Wow.
And
he told him, talk about it even more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He told them they were near a big cross, and we all know that big cross if you've ever driven down by Amarillo. You know that big cross he's talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And luckily, Ruby knew that big cross, too, and he knew exactly where it was. So he called investigators in that area to see if there were any unsolved killings nearby, and they told him, yes, that Robin's family had been murdered.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he was confessed to the killings in Missouri, so he was given a sentence. You know, they had a sentencing trial and everything, and they sentenced him to life in prison there. But he still had to come down to Texas and face the Texas system. And although he confessed to them, they still had the death penalty on the table for him.
Woo-hoo.
Here in Texas. And the prosecuting attorney, Lynn Switzer, said if there was ever a case where a man deserved to die, it was Levi King.
Definitely.
So they started the sentencing phase and the sentencing trial for him in Texas. They moved it from Pampa to Lubbock because his defense attorneys requested a change of venue.
Of course they did.
So, yeah. Well, you know, of course, mm-hmm. because the Conrads were really well liked in Pampa. Everybody loved them. Everybody knew them and everybody loved them. So there really was no way he was going to get a fair trial there, honestly,
right.
because they were going to hang him high if they got a chance to, mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Yeah.
At this point in time, Robin had moved in with her father and stepmother, who lived just outside of Pampa as well. The family during the trial was sequestered in a safe house, locked in, unable to leave, because they didn't know what to expect. They, you know, if he got out, he might try to get her, or he might have some friends in low places that wanted to get her. So, because she was going to testify. She was the sole survivor, and she decided to testify.
Wow. Good girl.
She didn't want to do it, but she felt like she needed to honor her family and to stand up for them, you know, and stand up to him for them.
Good
so,
for her.
During the trial, she said she tried not to look at him, but then she wanted to see who killed her family, and she looked over at him, and what she saw was a cold, hard stare from a guy who showed zero remorse for murdering her family.
Wow.
The defense tried, of course, to paint it as a picture of horrible childhood, which it might have been. I mean, I can't imagine my dad giving me drugs and hard liquor when I'm, 11 years old, 12
exactly.
years old, that had to be, that wasn't good. That right. was never right. starting that kid off right.
No.
And they lived in squalor, as I said before, with insulation hanging out, knives hanging on the wall, and display cases. They tried to make him look like this poor, misunderstood young man who was mentally ill and needed help. Well, I'll agree with him. He was mentally ill and needed help, but that's
didn't give him any
late.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He had been institutionalized a couple of times when he was a kid, but he didn't, and they had said he was kind of borderline psychotic and schizophrenic and, pretty much everything you can, every enic you can be,
right.
so, but they didn't do anything about it, and that was the problem. So they had a month-long trial here for the penalty. Phase because the death penalty was online. It was, they had to hold up to certain measures to get that. The jury deliberated for about 8 hours before returning their verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, one juror held out, and in Texas, it has to be a unanimous verdict. So King was sentenced to life in prison instead of getting the death penalty.
What could they possibly hold out on? But I mean, I've
well,
been
all
on
they
juries.
Had to do, all they had to do was put doubt or put sympathy, more like,
right.
into one juror's head, and they knew they weren't going to get the death penalty if they could do that, so they made him as pitiful as they could, and it worked on one juror.
Yep.
Out of a dozen. So.
Well.
So he was then extradited back to Missouri to serve his sentences, but, the damage he did to that little girl and that town and that family won't ever go away.
Right.
Because you know, this was cataclysmic to her. It changed the rest of her life. Her dad had to travel a lot, so when she got to middle school, she went to live with an aunt there in Pampa, and then later on, she went to live with friends.
Mm-hmm.
She still has nightmares about it, even in her 20s. She's afraid of the dark.
Aww.
She won't sleep in long sleeve pajamas or long pants anymore because that's what she was wearing that night.
Aww.
She closes her bedroom door because she's afraid of someone being outside that can come in.
Right.
She still hears her mother screaming.
Oh, that's so sad.
She's now in her 20s and at one point was attending college to become a pediatric nurse. I don't know. One of the later things that I saw said she was working on a career in law enforcement, so I don't know which one she's done or which one she's still working toward. I believe she's probably about 25, 26 now, if I have the dates. But she said birthdays are especially hard, even her own, because her family's not there for her.
Oh, so sad.
And I'm going to guess that the McCool family seems the same way. You know, they have the same feelings because Don McCool did have a son and Orly had a grandson and he misses his family.
Sure.
You know. Now, Robin is still close with all those officers that came to her rescue that day. Chad Brooks, who stayed with her while the house was searched, and stayed with her in his squad car. And she said, I have to feed my animals. So he helped her feed her animals because they were farmers. And, you know, she showed animals, I think, from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped her do that because he felt like she needed something to keep her calm.
Right. Something to do. Touch the animals, make her feel calm.
Yeah. And so these are big old gruff Texas Rangers. One of them was, and he was kind of tearing up when he was talking about her and how proud he was of her, and she was like family. In fact, she's still a part of a big law enforcement family. All those guys, she keeps in contact with them, calls them, and gives them updates about what's going on with her. And they all got together and started a college fund for her.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
She could go to school. Isn't that cool?
It is good. After such a horrific start in life.
Poor little thing.
I hope they keep him under the jail because he just...
I'm afraid they'll let him out again. I mean, it said life without parole, but you never know.
Right.
You never know. And again, we've talked about this before, but I kind of think parole boards need to receive a little bit of payback. Payback's not the word, but you know what I'm saying.
There should be some consequences.
Yeah, there should be some consequences when they let out someone like that who already has a background, who's already had some problems. You know, they let them out after 17 months of a 14. That's not even a year and a half of a 14-year sentence, and they let him out. And these murders. All of these murders are
a lot of times
of that.
They're not even waiting for a trial, you know, that long.
Well, you know? Longer. I don't know.
Well, so I hope he's staying there and staying there for good.
Yeah, me too. That's my story about Levi King and the murders in Pampa, Texas.
I'm glad that the Texas guys were there for her and that she feels a sense of safety in the extended family around her. She couldn't have anything better than.
I watched a couple of interviews with her, and she's a really smart woman now, but she's very intelligent and she's determined. She's determined that she's not going to let this make her life miserable. She's going to, you know, keep going and make her family proud, even though they can't see it. She's very strong, I guess is the word I'm trying to find. She's a very strong person and a very strong spirit. So I think she'll do well.
Well, I hope so because, you know, she sounded, what just struck me so sweet was she said, I'm 13.3 miles from the bowling alley.
Yeah.
honey, buddy.
It amazes me at 10 years old, she knew that. I don't think my kid knew her address at 10 years old.
Well.
I question whether she still does, and she's... Then she turns 18 tomorrow, so, you know.
well, I think when you grow up in a situation like that, in a farm situation, sometimes you have a little more.
I think you're right. There's a little more grounding there that you don't get if you're, kid.
City kid.
Yeah, I think so.
You have a different education on both spectrums. So we're not going to, we're not judging.
I'm sure she does. And she was at that age taking care of animals and showing animals, and she and her brother both. So
responsible.
She probably is a little more mature. Yeah, she was probably a little more mature and responsible than most 10-year-olds currently are, I would guess. So.
Right, right. Well, I tell you what, Miss Kim, you snuck it up on me and you made me cry.
Yay! Large does have a heart. It's not.
Not many people can make me cry. I'm here to tell you, I am. No. And just when you thought it couldn't happen, the marshmallow tackled me. So I wish all the best for this sweet little girl, Robin.
Yes, absolutely.
And thanks, Kim.
I was happy to do it. This is one I've been thinking about for a while about doing, and I just decided this was the time. So I hope she has all the best and does really well in life.
Well, awesome. Well, do you want to mention about our wonderful upcoming Halloween-y stuff?
No, because we have a trailer that goes on before this episode.
Okay, fine. I was just trying to segue you.
So no.
Okay, fine.
Alrighty then.
So that was it. Thanks again, y'all. And we will see you soon. And y'all remember, don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
That's our episode for this week. Thanks for listening to us, and we hope you join us again every Tuesday for an exciting new episode.
Head on over to our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com and leave a comment or your ideas about the subject this week.
Or follow us on Twitter at kudzukillerspod, and you can shout out to us anytime or send a question for our next Q&A.
Yes, ma'am, and we'd love you forever if you leave us a review on whatever podcast blows you scared at. We'd love to hear what you think about it.
If you'd like to become a part of the Kudzu Killers family, hop on over to patreon.com/kudzukillerspodcast and take a look at the goodies you get when you show us some love.
That's right. And if you love our music, check out Jody Jennings Music on Facebook, SoundCloud, or all social media and streaming music platforms.
So until next week,
or if we decide to shoot out a mini episode,
bye y'all.
Bye y'all.